Morning's message has to do with the just living by faith. The just living by faith. And I entitled it, Faith to Come Out of Babylon by Obedience to God. Naboth. And yesterday I heard of going back over one of the sermons that I had preached. And it's has a whole lot in there because it was about Naboth, a man of integrity. And without faith, it would be impossible to build integrity. And that's what God is trying to accomplish in us, to build a character, preparing a people for the kingdom of God. And we see that he prepared the ones in the Old Testament just as he's preparing us on a much better covenant. Faith is not something that's new, because we see throughout the Old Testament they were the same as us, that is, by God's grace through faith. Faith sometimes comes by your testimony of what God had did for you and what you know of God and how you know God and hearing of the Word of God. But faith also, we can see a faith in action, the works that you do. One of the disciples, one of Jesus' brother James, who wrote the book of James, said about showing his faith by his works. Also here, we notice that Babylon said, when I finished this series on talking on faith, I looked at this and it led me, especially because of the times we're in, this preacher and teacher message on coming out of Babylon, communication with Babylon. Because Babylon is present day, and we read of Babylon when the children went in captivity, God scattered his people into Babylon. Babylon is not a geographical area. It's like the church of Israel is no longer geographical. So right where Naboth was in Jezreel, he wasn't a part of the Babylonian system. And when I say that, I mean the church, the governmental system of Israel, because Israel, just like our nation, had corrupted itself. It went away from God. And just as Jesus was speaking during his time amongst the Pharisees and the people that he were around, he said, shall he find faith when he come back? So we've been looking at what is faith. This was a particular faith that he was talking about. This was a faith given by God. We see it in the book of Jude, where it tells us, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And as I look back, I see Ahab and Jezebel, who were faithless peoples, but they was rulers in Israel. They was rulers of God's people. And we see today, well, we have the rulers of God's people, and just like Jezebel and Ahab stood for the devil and Satan and the governmental system, the beast system of those days, we see that our government has become a beast system. Oppressive system. Just like Ahab and Jezebel oppressed and started oppressing the people, we see that same oppression today. We're going to talk about Naboth here, because also from this week, I told someone, I was telling someone, because see, we internalizing the world too much. We're getting too familiar with the world to where we feeling what the world is feeling. And that's not good for a dead person, because there be many deaths and things and a lot of things that's happening. We in for a spiritual depression. We in for not increasing in faith if we latch hold and not see that God's sovereignty is working in the earth, that it's working, and that by living by faith, we'll go through and we'll see a lot of suffering. We'll see a lot of things, but we'll see that it's God that's working, and as our faith is increased and we get to know God and understand God better, we won't be so dejected, depressed, complaining and murmuring and thinking about the world, because there's no sign of nothing that the world's going to be fair, because Jesus Christ tells us it's going to be worse for us the stronger we get in faith, because that's when the trials and tribulations come, because the world's going to hate you. So why would you think you will get a free ride from the world, that things will go along good for you in the world when you come to God? It's not. It's going to get much worse. And that's what I want to try to toughen you up a little bit. And that's what they were saying after the children of Israel had came through in the book of Joshua, I think it was, that God had to teach them all over again to fight. Because they don't know how to fight. Nowadays, we're fighting a carnal battle. And we shouldn't be fighting against flesh and blood, but it's a spiritual battle. We're going to just read a few verses from 1 Kings, the 21st chapter. And it says, "Now there was a man named Naboth from Jezreel who owned a vineyard in Jezreel beside the palace of King Ahab of Samaria. One day Ahab said to Naboth, 'Since your vineyard is so convenient to my palace, I would like to buy it to use it as a vegetable or herb garden. I will give you a better vineyard in exchange, or if you prefer, I'll pay you for it.' But Naboth replied, 'The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance that was passed down by my ancestors.' So Ahab went home angry, sullen because of Naboth's answer. The king went to bed with his face to the wall and refused to eat. 'What's the matter?' his wife Jezebel asked him. 'What's made you so upset that you're not eating?' 'I asked Naboth to sell me his vineyard or trade it, but he refused,' Ahab told her. 'Are you the king of Israel or not?' Jezebel demanded. 'Get up and eat something and don't worry about it. I'll get you Naboth's vineyard.' So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent them to the leaders of Israel." Now, I was listening and a lot of people preach this and they don't talk about Ahab's complicity in it. And being in a television age and that we're in Babylon and the world has us looking at things, they preach and teach this as if it happened over a day's period of time. This didn't happen over a day's period of time, because it would have took time for her to gather together the elders of Israel. You know, it wasn't as if they had Facebook or YouTube or an intercom system or something where they could summon a meeting together in one day and declare a fast and do the judgment and do the stoning and all this, to where Ahab didn't know what she was doing. You know, they act like Ahab went to sleep and when he woke up the next morning and woke up late that evening, it was done. And I think that's what messes a lot of us up, that we're not allowing our faith to kick in. We're not allowing God, God's not working in our life, because we're so earthbound. We're tied up by the things and the people in the world. They don't give us time to think, because they're always around us, or we always have the things blasting our neighbors in and out, and we're so tied up with the world that we're not in contact with God. Yeah. Naboth had worked this vineyard. Naboth had worked this vineyard in his parents had worked this vineyard, and that's why he says God forbid him to do that. So Naboth knew some of what the law was. That's my introduction. I guess we'll end it there and go into faith, trusting God's word. Yes. You don't have to have a whole lot of faith. Jesus was talking about with just a little faith what you can do. If you just have a little faith, what can be accomplished. But you have to be faithful in that which you do know. He who is faithful in the least, what the Bible says. So that's saying that there's a belief system, a structure around faith, that if it's a faith from God or whatever, that it's something that God had in tune you and is guiding and instructing you in, because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. So whatever character he's developing in you, it's there. He just has to bring it out and bring certain circumstances against it. Mm-hmm. So he told Ahab, Ahab seen the garden. He just wanted it for a luxury thing. He just wanted for a herb garden. Well, Naboth used that vineyard as a resource for his family. Evidently, they probably ate out of it, and they made their income out of the vineyard. That was the way that they made a living. The vineyard had been in his family for many a year. It says, Naboth replied that he wouldn't do it. Now, there was a man whose, since your vineyard is convenient, I would like to buy it to use as a vegetable garden. And when he asked him, Naboth didn't even think about it. He didn't think about it. A lot of people want to say, well, he thought about it and he debated about it. See, we of faith, like the children that was getting, the young men that was being thrown in the flame, and they said, Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm going to give you another chance to bow down and worship me. And Naboth, it was the three Hebrew boys, and said, well, we don't have to be careful in how we answer you this. They wasn't going to do it. If you've grown in faith and you practice in God's word, and that's part of your character, who you are, you don't have to think about it and go home and debate about it. Well, am I going to sell it? If he will give me some money, let me talk to my wife and think, if I could trade it for a better vineyard, can I maybe, I get a whole lot of money out of it and everything. But this was his inheritance. So it was about principalities. It wasn't about, as faith people talk about, not about money coming in prosperity. He's thinking, you know, that my fathers and grandfathers have labored over this vineyard. They've grown it. They've planted. They build homes on it. They've built future in their lives. What about the sentimental value of it? This is the Bible that my mother gave to me, and I told her I would preach out of that Bible one day. And that's one of the only things that I've gotten away from it, but I wouldn't sell it for anything in the world. There's a second one that I have from her that's wrapped in plastic so it won't decay and deteriorate so fast. It's in a vacuum sealed bag because it belongs to my mother. It's like if your parents give you a truck or a wedding ring. You see a lot of people say, well, that's the ring my grandmother wore. That's the dress. But young people don't value anything anymore. They don't value things, and they're not thinking. They'll say, well, look, well, let's get a new home. We'll move out of here. And they'll sell that home that the parents labored. I remember my father, when he started buying his home or whatever, he was so happy and was telling me about it or whatever. It wasn't much to the people coming up, the younger generation, but how much it stood for him. What did it stand for? See, we know better than the generations that are coming now. They'll sell that home or give it away and not even think about it. They'll move out and pay rent. They'll buy a home somewhere else and leave their inheritance behind. Naboth was a man of faith. He said, now God forbid me to do this, because it's in the law of Leviticus, the 25th chapter. And we're not going to labor that point too much. But he said that you can't sell your inheritance because it's something God had given you. This was given to him by God. And given to his parents by God. They divided the land by lots. They wasn't to trade the land. If they sold the land, it would revert back to them in the year of Jubilee. So he was trusting in God's word that his parents had communicated to him throughout time. It's what have your parents told you? Are you living by faith in God's word, what they said God had said? Now be careful about this. Be careful about this. That's where your strength comes from. And people can see that. And they can see the deceivers because they're in the churches now. They're in the world. The problem is with the churches. That's why Jesus said, shall I find faith when I come back? Because that was going to be a problem, finding the faith that he was talking about when he came back. Because the church do the things that the people in the church do, the same things that those outside do in the world do, because That's what the church is full of. The church has apostatized. There's only a few that have faith, the true faith. Ahab knew enough about God to humble himself in the face of judgment, verses 27 through 28. And just because you humble yourself, just because you go in and hear God's word, it's not that you have a live faith. You could have a faith, but it's a dead faith because it doesn't have the works of God. So he knew about God. He knew about the things of God. And as the king, he shouldn't have even asked him something like this. That's the beginning of eminent domain, where the government starts to oppress and take away from the people. It says, verse 27 through 28, says, "But when Ahab heard this message, he tore his clothing, dressed in burlap, and fasted. He even slept in burlap and went about in deep mourning." Then another message from the Lord came to Elijah. He says, "Do you see how Ahab humbled himself before me? Because he has done this, I will not do what I promised during his lifetime. It will happen to his sons, and I will destroy his dynasty." God had said, because you allowed Jezebel, your wife, you was complicit in the thing, that you allowed this, that I'm going to kill you. I am, and that's why I tell you, death is a common thing. He didn't remove death. And so when we see people dying around us, whether they went to church or whatever happened, we have to know that God's the only one with power to take life. Yes. Ahab knew he was wrong, and a lot of people know they were wrong. He succumbed to the word of God, and he was sorrowful about it, but it wasn't a true faith of repentance. He still was going to follow his wife's lead. He was still going to do what she was saying to do. He still was corrupt, but he was just scared and didn't want to die. Because it's a lot of people know God's word is right, but they're not going to do it. Yeah. But they're fearful of what happens to them or what's going to happen to them. Yeah. And so he humbled himself. God honors humility. But God's word, God had said that he was going to kill Ahab, his children, Jezebel, and her children for doing this to David. Because what a man soweth, he shall reap. So to get that land, to get that prosperity that you sold, your wife sold against my word, using my word to deceive others, I'm going to do this to you. He said, but I tell you what, since you humble yourself, I'm not going to do it during your time to you. I'm going to do it during your son's time. That didn't postpone that Ahab still was going to die. Ahab still faced that judgment. He died 2 or 3 years late. God killed him because God doesn't do things right when we do it all the time. You know, sentence is not passed or executed against an evil work speedily. The reason a lot of people go on to do and heap up more evil. They think God's forgiven them and they're forgotten, but he still gets them. Ahab was a very wicked man, and he did more evil than anybody before him. So he was still on there, but God had to work this into his plan. God works all this into his plan. Esau was another one who was not interested in trusting God or having faith. He was a profane man, and he sold his birthright. He sold the blessing. He got rid of all that. And then God give you something like the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. That's the earnest. That's the down payment on it. We'll see the land, this vineyard that Naboth had was just the earnest of his inheritance, because the true inheritance would come after death. It would come in the kingdom of God when God pay us off. You see, those were greater rewards. He was looking by faith. In this life, he had to live. So that was important to keep God's word even in death. That's why I said, don't look like an Abigail story all the time that is going to end like this. See, the world has us conditioned to happy endings by TV or whatever. It don't happen that way all the time. you get killed, you get stoned to death. Naboth got stoned to death for standing up for God's word. Well, if he stood up for God's word, why did this happen? Why he wasn't like the Hebrew boys that came through the fire? It's not like that. You can't predict God. You don't know how God's running this. Payday ain't on Friday. Faith is not something you can see. See, neighbors, see, that's why, like I say, when you're suffering and going through it, realize what you're getting involved in here. You may not see it in this life, but faith doesn't diminish you working toward that in this life. Esau sold his birthright for a pot of lentils for stew. Now, look, and you see that Esau still prospered. He had so much stuff that he refused that what Jacob had given, wanted to give him to bribe him away. So, the birthright and the blessing is not material. See, that's what the world has gotten in a material state. Yes. See, but along with the blessing, along with that birthright, being children of God, comes peace, comes joy, comes contentment, comes things of the spirit which people can't see, which the world don't know anything about, which they keep jostling and taking from you because you're still carnal. Your faith is not growing because you're not looking unto God. You're looking unto people and how to please people. The world keeps you locked in Babylon. You're not listening, and when God says that you have eternal life, and since you're not listening, it says you have eternal life. Now are you the sons of God. Your faith won't allow you to live so that you live and you don't mind losing your life. If you try to save your life, that's when you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, late Naboth lost his life, but he gained life. He had life eternal. Yes. But when you go to do things to try to save your life, that's when you lose your life. It's when people are making bargains with the world, things of the world. Eternal life is established through faith. No other way. The law can't give us eternal life. It can't bring it. The law was weak here. Romans 1 and 17, this is the gospel of the good news, tells us how God makes right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish, the author and the finish, whom is Jesus Christ. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. In the preaching and the teaching of the word of God. That's why hearing comes by faith, and that's the word of God. And that's what Naboth heard, the words of God through his parent, about not selling the inheritance through what God had said. So he had faith in what God had said, not in the law, but in what God had said. He trusted God. Both springing from faith and leading to faith. In other words, from faith to faith. And that's why in the churches you can see people that's been in the churches and deacons, preachers, songsters, lay people and everything, they're not growing in faith. We should be stronger in faith. You have need to teach others. People can't see that in you because you have so much whining and crying and a lack of faith yourself.
Yes, dude. Yes.
You go from faith to faith, your faith should be increasing. You can't fool anybody but the world and those that are below you, because you can't fool children of God. You can't fool God's people. They can see your lack of faith. And that's why people use you and abuse you, and that's why you're letting it get to you, because you wear your heart on your sleeve. It is disclosed in a way that awakens more faith. Once you start having that little faith, it starts building more faith. And that's the problem. That's why I'm teaching the way I teach, because I want to see the church grow in faith. There's a problem here. When I heard of a member of one cut, I said, what's the problem? Yeah, I didn't hear from them. I did. When I don't hear from them and I see that they're dying on the vines. You know, you could see members dying out and you wonder, were they saved or not? Because their actions hadn't showed faith. They're not increasing in faith. You can see. you can see faith. That's why the apostles saw the people and called them and Jesus, because they had faith. Peter said, they could see that this man had faith to be healed. You can see faith. Good. If you're a child of God. If you God gives you the discernment. As it is written, forever remains written, the just and the upright shall live by faith. That's the only way you can live. We know that that's any other thing in our lives, we weed out of our lives. It was not that Naboth was justified by any law. No one will be justified in that way. I told you it was his obedience to God's word. Look at Romans 3rd chapter, the 28th, 30th, and the 31st verse. It says, "See, so we are made right with God through faith and not obeying the law. For we maintain that an individual is justified by faith distinctly apart from the works of the law, the observance of which is nothing to do with justification." God justifies us. He puts us in a state of right standing. So once he justifies us, that is declaring the free, us free of guilt and made acceptable unto God. So he justifies us, not by faith, but he imputes his righteousness unto us, his justification. He places us in the right state. It's nothing we could work or earn or get or whatever. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision, in other words, those that are under law by faith, and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we make then void the law of God through faith? No, God forbid. Through faith, we have established the law. Because the law shall not disappear. And a person walking by faith don't break God's law. So that's why Naboth say, "God forbid I sell my vineyard." Now, he didn't have the capacity to do these things. Only God had the capacity to do those things and overcome in that. But he was obedient to God. He wouldn't sell his inheritance because God forbid it. Shall we continue in sin that grace shall abound? God forbid. We can't know something is wrong. It's not a faith for him to sell that vineyard. You understand what I'm saying here? Well, then, if we emphasize faith, does this mean that we can forget about the law? Of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we really fulfill the law. That's the only way you can fulfill the law is through faith. Jesus had the faith of Jesus Christ. That's what we need, that testimony of Jesus Christ. And if we walk in by faith, we're not transgressors of the law. Because in faith we have obedience, and he's given us the power to overcome. He wants us to be overcomers, and that's what I say. I need to start seeing some overcomers. Sometimes you have to look outside the perimeter of where you are. The people around you are not overcomers all the time. They're just as weak and everything, and if you don't stay shy of them, you'll become weak like them. Strong as Naboth was, he was in the vicinity with Micaiah, with Elijah. You remember, Elijah was the one kind of narrating this because he spoke the judgments to Ahab of what they had did or whatever. We read that Lot was a just man, but Lot was one that lacked works to prove that. You remember, Lot lost everything he had. He lost his wife and his family and everything. Because if a man is not strong in faith, he can't strengthen his family or the ones around him. He escaped by the skin of his teeth. But we know that the Bible calls Lot just Lot. In other words, righteous. We know that. But that was something God imputed to him. He didn't have any works to. You see, there'll be a lot of people that don't have the works, even though God has justified them. You understand what I'm saying? It's the ability to walk in these things. That's why we can't look at the hero halls of faith and worship these people or whatever. They were given as examples that there are people named and unnamed in that that had faith and neighbor this one here that will enjoy a great reward. Because if you saw your inheritance down here, you wouldn't get one like that up there because you're not a faithful servant. But to the one who does not work, that is, the one who does not try to earn his salvation by doing good, but believes and completely trusts in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited to him as righteousness, right standing with God. So, you're trusting in the God that forgives sinners. So, it's God that you're, where it lies in, that it's nothing I can do. I'm fully dependent upon Jesus Christ. Fully dependent. Now, along with this time, you remember Elijah thought he was the only one that was serving God. He said, I only. Because it's not good. You can't look out and see a lot of men and a lot of other women or people around you. See, a lot of people didn't notice the Abigails and the neighbors and things. They were looking at the big people and the big people that carried them away. They wasn't walking in faith. Elijah was a big name that was walking in faith. And he said, Lord, I only am left to serve you. But then God showed, we're looking here, we thread through the Bible, we could see something right there around him. You remember Obadiah? Obadiah was the prophet during the time when Elijah announced that famine and made that statement that Obadiah worked in the palace of Jezebel and Ahab. He had healed 100 of God's prophets and was feeding them, had them in groups of 50, feeding them. So he was doing a great work there. Yes. But a lot of people don't understand and know about Obadiah. That he was a man of faith. He trusted God, and look at the works he did. Now, it gives you wisdom and it gives the simple understanding, because when Elijah told him to go tell Ahab that he was coming, he said, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that because you ought to pop up and go anywhere or whatever. And Ahab come looking for you. I told him you here and you gone. So I'm afraid for my life. But then Elijah said, no, you go tell him. See, that was of God. Whether Obadiah wanted to trust his life or he was going to walk by faith in the word of the man of God, say, go tell him. So that way that meeting came about because Obadiah went and told him. And Elijah was standing right there to talk to Ahab about it. He didn't cause him to be killed. He didn't leave away. During that same time, when this judgment that God was going to kill Ahab, you remember what happened? Ahab, Jehoshaphat, had a habit of fooling around with no good people. And there are a lot of people in the church fool around with no good people. And that's why I was asking you about the death of this person, because maybe you shouldn't have been tied up with him in the first place. That's the problem. That maybe you shouldn't have been so close, because Jehoshaphat went right down there with Ahab and they was going to battle, and 400 and some prophets said, yeah, go into battle, you're going to be victorious. They was talking Christian work and everything. Jehoshaphat said, well, is there a prophet of God here? That's when they called Micaiah in. And Micaiah said, look, Ahab said, no, I don't want to hear from him. He's that holy guy. He going to tell me something I don't want to hear. See, the preacher going to tell you what you don't want to hear. He going to hurt your feelings. And he said, look, sure as you leave here, you're not coming back. God's going to kill you. And God had set it in battle. How am I going to kill Ahab? How can I get him in battle to kill him? So Micaiah said, you're not coming back here. You weren't dead king. And God did kill him, and he didn't come back there. But Micaiah, at the cost of being thrown in prison and did these things to, he was another man of faith. He was another one who hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. So we have Naaman here who hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. He hadn't buckled into Ahab. He wasn't giving away his vineyard. But how many of us today have sold things our parents give us? I know Brother Johnson over there stayed next to Brother Dent. His daddy gave him an old truck. And you know, just like I hear the preacher talk about this week, he wouldn't sell that thing for nothing in the world because his daddy gave him that truck. He got a brand new Sierra that he drives. But every once in a while, he put that old GMC on the highway. Because it don't have none of them bargain convenience. But the value of that truck is, my daddy sold me that truck. My daddy left that as an inheritance. So that's a man that knows something. So that's valuable. Those things that people, the sentimental value, you can't put a price on these things. That's why it's not about money. And we got a society that's about money. So where is faith? Faith, it has to be something different. It's not on material things. It's on principalities and power. It's about wickedness. It's about things where you can see the character and integrity in people. I respect him for that. And Solomon talks about leaving things to children that after you gone, they'll sell it all and get rid of it and throw it away or whatever. It was better to leave. That's why a lot of people leave their stuff to charity, because they don't have sons or daughters that's going to take care of it. We look at the inheritance next door, and I say, a former member here, he would turn over in his grave if he knew that was going on. And do you have faith? It's according to where your faith at. Where are you looking? Are there people of faith around you? The laws of faith, God tells us in Jeremiah, he keeps telling us that the laws are written on our heart. He writes, see, faith is from inside, and that's why I say he stirs up. That's why Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift that's within you. See, make that faith grow by stepping out on it, by trusting God. A lot of people are saying and saying this, but that's all they do is talk. That's why a lot of times you're not really paying them attention to what they say. Because they ain't nothing but talk. They're not going to do anything, and you can tell, because that's why their lives are stuck where they are. Amen. There is no respect of person with God. For as many have sinned without the law shall perish without the law, and as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the Lord shall be justified. So when the Gentiles, now so come, we don't even know if Elijah was a Gentile or not. Elijah just pops on the scene from nowhere, and it says he was a Tishbite. It doesn't say much about Elijah. But it says, Romans says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things that's contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts to men, while accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. That's why it's going to be a lot in that day. Say, Lord, when did we see you naked and did this for you? When did we do this for you? He said, you did it for the least of mine. You did it for me. In this nation, I see people, citizens, may not have anything to do with the church, standing up against this wicked and blasphemous government. This beast is arising out. This government is getting so we see. That's why I said, you better buckle down. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. This is Babylon we're living in. The oppression is greater. Nothing is happening at the lower level. And it's the churches in the government, just like Jezebel and Ahab, is responsible for this. That's who's responsible. And we see people of much more faith than the government is, than the political leaders, than the religious leaders that's amen in this and going along with it. And God's going to count that to them because they're staying. We got people in the church that won't stand. They won't stand for anything, so they'll fall for everything. There's a lot of people like that. They'll say, but they won't do. They'll get back and talk, but they're not out there voting. They're not out there on the line. Ahab was saying this, but Naboth was on the line. He was the one, sometime the grape harvest didn't come in. The vineyard didn't produce. Sometime you had years of drought. He didn't know, but it wasn't about the money or what he was making. Because they say, I give you a better vineyard. So the vineyard might have not been the top one. It might have not been a good one, because he said, I'll give you a better vineyard. And if he was willing to tear up that vineyard and make a herb garden, that also was breaking the laws of God, because you wasn't supposed to destroy fruit trees. Mm-hmm. What? That's within God's law. That was a tree for food. He was just going to make a herb garden out of it. But this was this man's livelihood. But what was attached to there was the blessings of God. And that's why I say, a lot of people in church, and God has blessed them, and you know what? They've sold that blessing. God is no longer in their lives. And I've seen many of men that have a lot of stuff, and women with stuff, and men get attached to them, and they see that anointing. God has blessed you in your life, and before long, they don't have anything. They've sold it all, and then that person leave them, because they say, you know what? You ain't nothing. They married them for the money. Now that the money gone, they gone. The relationship is gone. You don't look like you looked when I first married you. It wasn't love anyhow then. Mm. It says for better or worse. But now you done found somebody else, and you done dealt treacherously with the wife or husband of your youth. You done sold that inheritance, because God had gave you that soulmate. But now you done found another soulmate. You're not faithful to anything. Because he is faithful in the least, is faithful in the most. You have to follow your convictions. He followed his convictions. And Ahab was a high-minded, and we have a lot of high-minded people in there that think more highly of themselves, that they're more important than anybody else. And what they want, their program, their agenda should be first. Naboth was a lowly person, and that's what I'm trying to get y'all to see. Just because you're lowly doesn't mean you're not anybody. You're somebody, we're all the same in God's sight. He doesn't have respect of a person. Yes. So because you live in a certain spot, or high your popularity or money, or what, that doesn't make you any more than me. We both, if I'm a child of God, and I don't know whether you are or not with that thinking you have. See, and that's the way this society, that's the way this nation is, that's the way Babylon was. So it was a blessing to Naboth to be killed at that time. See, sometimes to die is better. That's why Paul said to die is gain for him. Yes. When God took, and it says he was not, God took him. He had translated him, because the world, the things around him had got so corrupt, he got him out of life. He translated him. He put him in another place. You know, sometimes that's why divorces and things occur, or deaths and things occur. But before you corrupt your soul, or before you give in, it's better that she go her way, or you go your way, or that you dead and stuff, because now you won't live as corrupted as this person in corruption. You see some men, the Bible tells you, Proverbs says, a woman will bring a man to a piece of bread, bring him to nothing. It's some men that was fine and upstanding and respectable, but now they don't even have no friends or whatever, because you're no longer a man. Like, that's how I was telling my son-in-law last night, who was going to do a job or whatever, and I was saying, some of these senators and everything, as men, I have no respect for them as men. In other words, they're still people, but it's not a carnal battle. That's why I say I don't watch the news or watch this, because they're not in that sight. It's just like with Jesus, he didn't address Herod because he wasn't worthy of being addressed. See, sometimes people can lose, you can lose sight of people because you're nothing to me. Turn them over to Satan. People will get you tied up. Like I say, you get depressed. That's why you're not growing in faith, because of the familiar spirits, the seducing spirit that attaches you to worrying over them and work. And sometimes it should be almost like good riddance. I'm kicking up my heels. Now I can go farther. There's a weight of sin that's been laid off of me. We need to follow our convictions. Naboth followed his conviction. And when I say that, That's if the conviction is a faith. Listen to Romans 16 and 23. This was about eating and not eating. See, because if you get your mind hooked up and on the legalism and you're thinking about eating this food and the law says this, now see, that's where you have to know God's word. That's why I say you need not forsaken the assembly of the day. You can't be saved by food. But some, I hope ain't nobody out there telling them about not eating this and that about clean foods and things, because that has nothing to do with salvation. Right. That was an example in the Bible. You can't be saved by food. But if your conscience says, I shouldn't eat this, or should I eat this or not? Well, that is sin, because you're doubting. What makes it sin? So whatever is not of faith is sin.
Yes.
Whatever is not of faith is sin. So if you convicted of having guilt about it, if you're saying something or doing something and that's convicting you, either our conscience are accusing us or excusing us. That's why we have to be in touch with God and His Word, because it may be the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that's convicting you of sin. So you have to be sensitive to the Word of God, be led by the Spirit of God. Not fighting a downhill bout, it's an uphill bout. That's why I was telling you the other day, to contend earnestly for the faith. Contend, in other words, this is a striving, this is a struggle. There are those that know God's word, though, but have no faith or true knowledge of God's word. I'm going to have to make this a two-party. I guess I can't tie all this together because I'm just on my first point. There are those who know God's word and says, but have no faith or true knowledge of His word. Romans 10, 1 through 3. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a certain enthusiasm for God, but not in accordance with correct and vital knowledge about Him and His purposes. For not knowing about God's righteousness, which is based on faith, and seeking to establish their own righteousness based on works, they did not submit to God's righteousness. See, because there's a lot of people who have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And that's why I said, when they have these hobby horses about abortion, homosexualities and everything, that's you can have a zeal for God and God could be using you in that to persecute that, but you in within yourselves are evil. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying, because you don't have a knowledge of God. Now, you could be in the church. God uses people in that way. That's how He used the king of Assyria, because he had a heart. He was thinking it was him. He was establishing his own righteousness. We have leaders and things today going about establishing their own righteousness, and God's using them as vessels of destruction, but they will be destroyed even though they're teaching and preaching God's word. Now that's something. You're in church and God uses you as a tool. Jehu was one of them. In other words, He was going to use Jehu's character, who Jehu was, to kill Ahab, to kill Jezebel, to get their family killed and all this here, because he had issued by his word that he was going to do these things. So he needed a tool to do this. Jehu was that tool he used, and he made him king. But he was going to eventually kill Jehu and all his family. So you may be in the church, but like I say, examine yourself and see whether you're in the faith. You have to examine yourself. That's why I say, what is faith? Are you in the faith? You better keep touching yourself, checking it. This sounds noble, but God's word shall stand. God's word overrides our actions. Remember I told you, and I'll get to it later in another point, that he hired Jehu to go in and kill them and punish them, not to kill Ahab, because God allowed Ahab, 3 or 4 years later, to go and battle with Jehoshaphat, and this guy was shooting an arrow in the air. He wasn't aiming at Ahab, but God wanted to kill him. In the only spot where that arrow could kill Ahab at, it did hit him at that spot and kill him. Yes. And the guy wasn't shooting at him. He just shot the arrow and God guided it. See, so God's doing the killing here. Just like he killed, who we was talking about last week? Nabal. Remember Abigail and Nabal, and God killed Nabal? God does the killing. Now, let's not make God a wimp now. God kills and he makes alive. So let's not candy stroke this. 2 Kings 9:33-36. Well, when Jehu went in to kill Jezebel, he had killed his son. God had made him king and he had killed her son. Now he went in to kill Jezebel. Jezebel was upstairs putting on makeup and everything. Jehu came in to kill her. He says, and he said, throw her down from there. Who's with me? So they threw her down, and some of her blood sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did sit down, eat, and drink, and said, you know what? Go see now this cursed woman and bury her. For she is a king's daughter, and then went to bury her. You know, sometimes we attempt to do good. But see, he didn't know God. He rehearsed God's word. He knew God had said this. So if they'd have went and buried her, wouldn't they have been violating God's word? See, because it was for it to happen the way it was. He said he's trying to be nice. People say, well, that's nice of him or whatever to bury her. And then, no, it wasn't either. God has to override that. He said, that's a king's daughter. See to her, go bury her. Well, when they went out there to bury her, they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, and listen to what he said, this is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite. Remember I told you Elijah was a Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the cock of Jezebel shall be dung. We know what dung is. Shall be dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so they shall not say, this is Jezebel. God had said, since she went in, killed Naboth and his sons, took the inheritance, and did this, sowing and reaping, the dogs could eat your blood, the dogs could eat your blood. What, nothing left but a skull? That thinking brain that had thought up this devious, this high-end plot against Nabal, wasn't no brain left there. It was just a skull. The palms of a hand that worked his evil, those was there. Watch who you lay your hands on. You can't say, well, Jezebel is buried there or not, because God said the dogs go eat her and they're going to waste it. She's going to be waste all over the earth. We see in Thyatira, in that church, he says Jezebel and her daughters, in other words, the church, the children, the rest of them are going to be thrown in the bed. So when we see things happening today, not that we're wrestling against flesh and blood, but these people are carrying these spirits around with them. And Jehu just thought about it, and he says, well, this happened according to the word of God. If this was the word of God, and see, that's what I was telling you, that Naboth didn't have to think about it. The Hebrew boys didn't have to think about it. They wasn't going to worship. They wasn't going to, we don't have to be careful, and we don't have to think about it. We're not going to do it. Right. Naboth said, I don't have to think about it. I'm not going to sell it. God forbid. So if he was a man of faith, if he knew God's word had said this was going to happen, why would he attempt to bury him? Yeah. That wasn't a faith, was it? No. He shouldn't have made that attempt to bury him. Okay. Should have walked away and left it there to be. Because God, he said, oh, God's word. He said, see, a lot of us, we're not studying God's word. we're not quickened, and somebody says something to us 2 weeks later or later on, oh, I should have told them this. Yeah. This didn't come to mind. Or that. See, you should be quick in the spirit. If you studying the word of God and you exercise by use, you'll be able to fight them fight.
Amen.
I'm saying, well, people call me and say, well, Pastor, this or Brother Jackson, this and that, that. You can't fight your own battle. They know you calling me, asking me, and then you telling that person that. That person sees something's wrong with you because you're not led by the Spirit. You're led by your pastor, the teacher, somebody. You're not fighting a fight because these words should be a part of you. This was a conviction in neighbor. I don't care what nobody else say. I'm not saying I don't have to check with my wife. It's a lot of men that got to go check with their wives. He didn't have to check with anybody else. He put his sons in peril, but God, give it, God, take it away. He had to make that decision. We need to be quick with God's word. We need to study God's word and know God's word. Now, my second point, complicity, is going to have to wait to next week because, like I say, I drew this out too long. And I'm about halfway through, and we're at a point where we have to stop here and make a part two to this. But we have to be careful to know what faith is. And faith is in us. We just have to stir up that gift. That's inheritance God has given us, unless we've sold it out. Like I said, a lot of us have sold out to the world and to the people and things of the world. It's not growing. You can't feel it growing. You're not like Caleb. When Caleb, as strong as he was at 40, when he was 85, he said, I feel stronger now than I did then.
Mm-hmm.
Moses, as old as he was, he could see further at 120, 130 years than he could see then. He could see from that mountain, he could see to the promised land.
Praise God.
Are you growing stronger? Are you walking in the Lord? Are you doing greater works? Are you? See, that's what we're looking for. And he's looking for, shall he find faith? Or shall he find a bunch of people scared to death when he comes back? Heavenly Father.